Welcome to Spiritually Naked, where physical and non-physical worlds collide, offering a refreshing concoction of optimism and realism. It's time to strip down the barriers of limiting beliefs, to master the art of manifestation and synchronized living. Everything you need to live an inspired, awakened life is within your grasp. Start creating the life you desire today with Spiritually Naked as your guide to simplifying complicated issues for real life change. Now here are your hosts, Steve and Stephanie Banks.
Hello everyone, thank you for joining us here tonight on Spiritually Naked. I am your host, Stephen Banks, and I'm here with my partner and co-host, Stephanie Banks, who in the second portion of our program will channel for us a collective consciousness named Solomon. Today we have joining us Lisa Malarises, who is a psychic medium and the author of Being Light Driven. At an early age, Lisa instinctively followed her guidance to fine-tune her abilities until she became an accomplished medium, where she now works with people to find their own self-empowerment. Thank you for joining us here tonight, Lisa. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. I'm very pleased to be here today. And I look forward to speaking with all of you.
Awesome. It's so exciting to have another medium on the program because it always gives us another perspective. And Stephanie and I have this conversation all the time regarding definitions of psychics and mediums and channelers and what the borders are, the boundaries and the boxes.
If there are any.
Yeah, we always try to define within the realm of definition where we sit. And it's always interesting to hear other people's perspectives.
How would you define medium as opposed to psychic?
Well, I think everybody is psychic. Everybody's intuitive. Everybody has that natural born instinct. And I believe everybody can have an after-death communication. I think that it's the awareness to the symbolic energy or the symbolic language that makes someone a channel. And in the book Spiritual Guidance, Trusting the Voice Within, it's like an interactive workbook that we help people to understand where that inner voice is, whether it's to your guides, for your guidance, for your personal guidance, or to understand the communications from those on the other side. You see, it's all the same language, it's just different levels of understanding and awareness of it.
Right, so but when somebody refers to psychic and somebody refers to another person as a medium, channeler, like it seems to me that there's a specific definition for each one, but is there really, or is it just a different, are they each just different ways of connecting to the other side, connecting to that intuitive voice, connecting to source, connecting to God, whatever word you choose to use? Is that the difference?
I think we're all connecting on different levels for different reasons, but it's the same force of energy, and we're all really like one big soup, if you will, but we're individual ingredients. And depending on what your intention is what you're going to bring forth out of the universal energy. So there's many great intuitives in the world, and their intention may be to give you insight into your future, and I would call them a psychic. Yeah. I always tell my clients that my intention is not to give them insight into the future, but to give them the awareness that our loved ones continue and we don't die.
Right.
And hopefully bring forth a validations and messages from those that they want to hear from. But what I also explain is that there's no sense of time in the world of spirit. So they're at a higher frequency, and past, present, and future will blend. So when they come forth and they give messages and validations, if it's something that's already happened or something's current, I say spirit's been with you at that time. If something hasn't happened yet, I tell my clients to go back to reference their notes or the tape that we make, and that's a validation of the message given. And people see that you're telling them something that hadn't happened yet, and they may perceive that to be telling the future, but I really believe it's a timing issue in that spiritual energy.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And in that sense, do you believe that, so for example, if you see a probability, do you see it as more of a probability, or do you see it as you're actually seeing and understanding the current timeline further ahead?
Well, I think it's not up to me. So it's whatever comes forth from spirit. For example, some people will say, well, they would come to me and want to have a channeling session. And I do more than just channeling sessions. I teach as well. So I'll have consultations for those who wish to learn how to embrace their own inner voice. I lost track of the question.
I do that all the time.
Well like you
cut that out.
No, it makes me feel better about my own interviews. And that's the thing with this topic, you could go off in so many different tangents. Directions. You just go on these tangents because it's all so exciting. I'm curious to know though, and I have a bit of ADD, so let's just move on. What, like, your history is that as a child you knew that you had a connection and you're aware of that. And I know that there's a lot of people that have well, I think we all do to one degree or another, but for some it's more apparent as children or young adults, and oftentimes it can be scary. So is that something that you experienced? And if so, you know, maybe you can give a few words to people listening that have had the same experience, how to navigate through that.
Oh, Stephanie, that's a wonderful question. And yes, it has been a journey. My very first book, Being Light-Driven, Finding Inner Guidance, is a book written about those earlier years. And it can be scary. And part of the reason that it became a book is because of other people may benefit from my experiences. And to know to listen to their children and not to focus on fear, but embrace things with more of an open mind and open heart and faith instead of fear. So Being Light-Driven, Finding Inner Guidance is, I started to write that book because there was many impactful things that happened along that journey to bring awareness to me that I was being guided, or I call it light-driven, by my guides, and that there was more than just a sense of ESP going on. There was more of a synchronicity of events. And it wasn't until I was in my 20s that I really understood that I was connecting to people on the other side. But things would happen. For example, I understood that prayer was heard. And I think that's such an important thing for the public to know, that it's a validation that you don't need a channel to get your message to your loved ones. You can say a prayer and they hear those prayers and those thoughts. And I started to write these things down for my kids. And I didn't intend to go public with it, because you have to remember, 30 years ago, it wasn't a popular subject. So I had fear around coming out of the closet, as I speak, you know, to go public with this ability. So I would share it with just a few close friends and family members. But it was bringing such peace to people that I needed to do more. And it was through a channeling meditation that I was told I could either go two ways, either to help a few or help many. So I took that next route. And as I started to write down these impactful moments, I received a channeling from a very high vibration, and I refer to that vibration as Angel Guide. So Angel Guide gave me insight into the world of spirit. So it's kind of morphed into a book, a little book, and I believe the book is beneficial for children who are also experiencing these things, and their parents to know how to handle it. People in general to know that our loved ones continue and we don't die. And then to give people some tips how to meditate, to go within, to unleash their inner guidance. Because that has always been something that's been very important to me. And very important, I think, in the modalities of channeling, in the modalities of relieving stress, and also, you know, for your well-being.
It is. It's absolutely important. And it sounds to me like you had mentioned that it took you to your 20s before you realized that what was happening was you were communicating with the other side. And for some of us, like for myself, it was a lot less subtle. I actually literally saw people would come to me and I'd feel their strong energy, and I didn't understand it. And I was always fearful. I never understood how to embrace what was going on. So I ended up pushing it away.
That's not uncommon, actually.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so, because it really is quite terrifying if you don't have someone who can understand and explain to you, as you just articulated, that really what's happening here is these people are coming to us and it's a positive thing. It's just the fear is an interpretation of it, right?
Exactly. The fear of the interpretive energy and law of attraction will bring you what you're afraid of.
Right. Yeah, we're supported in everything, even that.
I was very
are loved so much that we're even supported in our negative thoughts.
Well, yes, exactly. Because it's all about the soul growth and the learning. So, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's an experience that's uncomfortable, there's a silver lining in there to be learned from.
Mm-hmm. And it's important now that, like you say, that people are, your book's available for people to get a further understanding into what they're experiencing and what maybe some people they know or around them are experiencing.
True. It was important for me. These have been unfoldings in my life that are teachings. I always felt that spirit was the best teacher. And keep in mind, when I was younger and I was starting to become aware that this was more than just a normal coincidence, I thirsted to have some kind of guidance. I thirsted to find a school, but where I lived and at the time that I was growing up, there was nothing that was really accessible or available. And what I didn't realize at the time was, it's hindsight, it's always great, is that spirit was the best teacher. And it was through this journey that they awakened and taught me how to be the channel that I have become today, mm-hmm. and the teacher that I am, because it's through these experiences, and there was fear involved at different times. But the funny thing is, like, I would see the shadows in the room and they would come towards my bed as a little girl, and I would say to them, go to the closet door. Like, you don't realize the power and the strength you have to say, go to the closet door, and then the shadows would go to the closet door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't express that power as a child. I ran.
It's okay. It's all good.
I think probably the biggest lesson for everyone is to learn and become aware and then exercise your own personal empowerment, mm-hmm. in all situations.
Exactly.
It is so important.
Yes. And that's what I just started, a new counseling service for that purpose and that reason, because everybody is a little bit different. And it's not a one-size-fits-all as far as the tools in your toolbox that you'll use in order for a point. I'm sorry, but I'm doing a little tangent there. But
that's okay.
Tangents are good.
Digress.
I believe there's tools in your toolbox you use to acquire balance. And all these different modalities are connected, as we started to talk about in the beginning. We're always taught about how to take care of our physical bodies. When we grow up, you're told to eat well and sleep well and go to the doctor and get your preventatives. But very few of us were taught how to take care of your non-physical bodies. And we are physical and non-physical. So it's very important to be able to take care of yourself, love yourself, and provide balance so that you can go through life's journeys, or I call it journey surfing, because you have to constantly acquire your balance. Your life is always changing from the time you're born to the time you transition. You're never on steady footing, and people have a tendency not to like change. So you have to take care of that non-physical as well as the physical to acquire that balance.
Well, and I think if you sort of master the internal journey, the journey to spirit, the journey to self, the journey to wholeness, the physical aspects of who you are follow in suit. So it's almost like most of us are skipping a step and moving straight to the physical body, and you can't really quite fix it all from there. No. You have to,
it's total well-being. It has to be physical and non-physical, and doctors in in this area of the world don't see things that way. I think the perfect blend would be Eastern and Western medicine together.
Mm-hmm. And I've used that combination successfully for for Lyme's disease. That's where I use that combination, and that's a disease that can take somebody down really quickly, and I have zero remnants of that. And it was a combination of being open to both the alternative and the more conventional forms of medicine, and recognizing the value in each and the strengths in each and the weaknesses in each, just like everything, and then fine-tuning my own sort of protocol for both that would make me successful in getting rid of Lyme.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes. Self-healing has been in our lives a number of times, actually, since Stephanie's accident, which is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for Lisa, so you focus a lot on raising the point and the awareness in people to understand that life goes on into the non-physical. So what do you think is the most important message you can tell people who are dealing with the loss of a loved one at this moment?
That they're not gone, that they are all around you, and that they are in a good place. People have a tendency to, you know, it's normal to mourn. I'm not saying don't mourn. You're human and you have to go through that. But know that your thoughts are heard, your prayers are heard by those in spirit. And that you are connected, and that there is an eternity, and that it will eventually be together again.
And that's a huge one, because I think if people really grasp that and wrap their logical mind around that through the feeling of it in their heart, that they're feeling that they know that that's true, like most people know on some level that that's true, they just have a hard time trusting it. And I think, like what you said, expressing your prayers to them, expressing your love verbally, mentally, writing it down, singing it, painting it, whatever it is you want to do, and playing around with it and seeing what comes back your way. And I know for myself, that's responded to. I get a response, and all of a sudden you have this amazing sense of relationship and communication with so many more people, because you're not subjected to just the physical world. It's like so inclusive.
You have to be accepting of the signs, because you can ask your loved one to give you a sign that they're okay, but so many people receive the sign and then they have analysis paralysis set in to try and figure out why that happened, instead of saying thank you for showing me that. They don't realize it takes so much energy for the spirit. They have to slow down that vibration, because they're at a higher frequency in their dimension than ours. They have to slow it down to make the connection, kind of like a radio connection, mm-hmm. to give us that electrical sign, or give us the bird that comes in, or come into your dream. And so many people, they get the beautiful validations and then they dismiss them.
Right, because they still have that resistance to it.
And
exactly.
Yeah, that's the thing. And for myself, because I don't have the same, I don't express the same open connection that yourself, Lisa, and Stephanie does. So what I do is, what I've noticed is that by placing my awareness on everything that's happening around me, and say, for example, if I send some love to a lost loved one or something, I always get a sensation of pins and needles, or an animal will all of a sudden pop up in front of me and just sit down, or, you know, like there's so many things that otherwise we would just keep walking forward without noticing.
Yeah. But once you start noticing the little ones and paying attention to really what's going on around you, all of a sudden it just, your life becomes just full of all those synchronistic mm-hmm. events.
Well, you see them more and more because they're happening all the time.
Mm-hmm. It's that awareness, and they are there. And it is a gift to have that understanding. I had one client that, unfortunately, she lost her only child. And she came to me as a synchronistic of events, because apparently she would go to different mediums. So I would call someone that keeps seeking out this work, maybe a medium hopper, that go from one to another. I had never seen her before. But she found me, she lives not too far from me, and she found me from a recommendation, and then another day she was on the computer, and then my website popped up. So it was like a couple things, one, two, three. So she reached out to me, and we had a group of two. She brought a girlfriend with her for support. And her child did come through and gave her numerous validations. And we both have a voice recorder on the table. So I would record the channeling session and then provide them a copy of that. And she brought one as well, which I allow. So as we're going and her child is coming through and giving her great validations, finally says to the mom, says, "Now, this happened, and this happened. I want you to really believe that I'm okay and stop seeking it out and just believe that I'm okay." And with that, our voice recorder, which is in record mode, says message received in a computerized voice.
Oh.
And we both looked at each other. We kind of like looked at the recording and it recorded it. It was just pretty amazing that saying message received. So receive the message, accept the message, and believe that they're okay. That is the best thing you can do. Keep the prayers. Spirit loves prayers. They love it when you pray for them because they're still growing and healing on the other side as we are healing and growing here. We're very much intertwined and connected. Connected through the soul, to the soul growth. And it's something that's a little bit of a challenge to articulate, but on a vibrational level, I'm sure, Stephanie, you get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. And I think that, you know, you don't have to hit a rock wall and almost die on a mountain bike to get it. It's sometimes you just hear a string of words in a certain way and it hits home. And I think the beautiful thing about connecting to the other side is the way the message is delivered in such a pure, genuine manner that allows for that click to happen.
I think another thing that's important for people to know is that pets come through.
Yeah.
So many people are so fearful about their animals not having a journey, and they have such beautiful unconditional souls when they're here. And, of course, they have beautiful unconditional souls on the other side. So many times pets do come through the channeling sessions.
Mm-hmm. Well, and animals in particular, like, I remember some of the earlier messages from 2012, just after my near-death experience, were the most beautiful messages I've received to date, I think. There's one from Raven. That's why the Raven's on the front of the book, one of the reasons. Their energy and their wisdom is an amazing source of knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
So when they come through to you, Lisa, like I've read Stephanie's channelings of from Lynx and from Raven and
Tree
and
from Frog.
The Tree Frog, correct, yeah. Do they come through to you with profound information, or are they trying to connect to someone through you?
They're trying to connect to someone through me typically, to let them know that they're okay. And a lot of times they'll do that, or to have gratitude, to send their gratitude to the life that was shared. But there was one particular incident which I find good. I have it up on my website, tocommunicate.net. It's in the section that I have for prayers do come true, and it's on the pets area. There was a coworker and a friend of mine who had a pet rat named Butterscotch.
Aww.
And she had a young son at the time. I don't remember how old he was, but he was young. And he was very attached to this pet rat. So the pet rat took ill and it transitioned. So my girlfriend was upset on how to deal with this and how to help her son through his first understanding of transition. So I said to her, "Why don't you sit with your son, pray, ask your son in his own words, in his own head, he doesn't have to tell you what he's doing, to talk to Butterscotch in through his thoughts, and ask him to give him a sign that he's okay." I said, "It will make you feel good, it will make your son feel good, and you'll see what happens without an expectation." So it had been a couple days later. She had had off from work and school. There was a snow day, and they were upstairs in their library, and she's on her computer, and he was on his, I think, an Xbox Live type of thing. And when they play that Xbox, they can play with other people. So all of a sudden downstairs, music starts playing. And my girlfriend looks at her son, and they're both in the same room, and there's no one else in the house. They live alone. She says, maybe that's Butterscotch. So she goes downstairs, and it's his iPod that just turned on by itself. And when she went down, it was in the off position. So that was kind of like an interesting experience. So she goes back upstairs. They laugh. They giggle at each other. They look at each other. They say, oh, that must have been Butterscotch. And then 2 minutes later, her son, who's in the same room with her, says, Mom, look at this. And there was someone that joined his game called Butters, and then it had a number after it. Well, they used to call him Butters for short.
That was hilarious.
The way that Butterscotch was given the young boy his sign that he was okay, and his prayers were heard.
Oh. So we don't need to tell any young boys or teenagers that, because it'll give them all the more reason to be on their Xbox Live.
Yeah, we'll leave that part of it.
That's going to be a secret for a little while.
It happened while he was reading a book.
That's amazing. That's amazing,
but
though.
But they love electronics because it's part of a way that they can make a connection. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Nature.
Yeah, I've experienced a lot of that throughout my life, through, you know, every form possible, really, with electronics. But we're almost out of time, Lisa. So if you'd like to share with our audience where they can find your books and find you for your services and anything else you'd like to share.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, please. You can find on the web, on the internet site, the number 2communicate.net. The books are available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Balboa Press. And the name of the books are Being Light Driven, Finding Inner Guidance, and Spiritual Guidance, Trusting the Voice Within. I look forward to connecting with people who would reach out to me, whether it be for channeling sessions or for guidance and counseling on how to awaken their own inner voice. I do Skype as well as in person and have channeled internationally.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And I thank you both so much. It's been a pleasure.
For everyone out there, stay tuned, and we'll be back with Lisa and Solomon.
It is our pleasure to be here in your time, in your space, in this reality of yours currently, as it intertwines and mixes in with a multitude of realities beyond many of your comprehension at this time. But as you begin to recognize and realize the potentials and possibilities that lie beyond your current vision, your current grasp, you will begin to dapple in the ideas of these potentials. You will begin to dapple in the idea of your own empowerment. You will begin to dapple in the idea of grandness, of wholeness, of expansion. And as you do, you will see and realize and recognize your divinity, your extension of divine intelligence, your extension of source creation, your contribution, your importance. We are here to remind you of this importance. We are here to remind you of our trust and faith in one another collectively. If you are here listening to us, if you are here experiencing this with us, you are part of this collective agreement. You are here on your own accord. We do not force ourselves upon you. We come as invited. We thank you for this opportunity to speak with you, to relay to you ideas that you all know on some level or another. You are simply here as a way of reassuring that which you already know. And yes, we do at times give you new ideas to ponder, new perspectives to look at. But again, these are ideas that you are aware of on some level. We are here expressing to you messages from your higher self, from your higher being, from that part of you that is always connected to source creation. We would like to, at this time, invite you to pose your questions, queries, concerns to us, and we will do our best to appease your curiosities.
Thank you, Solomon. I do have a question, and it is geared towards my work as a channel. In my workings as a channel, I do provide sessions where I connect to those on the other side and provide healing for my clients that come to me with their validations. And I also believe in reincarnation, as do many of my clients. On a vibrational level, I have the knowing and understanding that people can connect to the other side, and yet maybe a portion of them may have reincarnated. But I don't know how to articulate this or how to explain this to clients, and it does come up often as a question. So can you assist me in having a explanation for this?
In other words, would you like us to explain the idea of reincarnation and how it relates to the current linear reality of the human being in the moment?
Well, I'm not sure. What happened, and maybe I wasn't clear, when I channel, I'm connecting to the personality of the one that was living at one time. And perhaps that soul has reincarnated. So the question has come up, how can I be channeling to that personality that was once here if potentially that soul has also reincarnated?
The idea that is tripping you up and the idea that is tripping up that of your clients is a result of linear thinking, is a result of restrictions and boundaries, as a result of a judgment-based idea as to how, when, and where a soul is able to be in a particular time and space reality. As a human being incarnated on Earth, as you are currently, this is merely one aspect of your creation. You have many, 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 many different variations of your, let's say, energetic self displaying themselves to alternate realities. Therefore, under that concept, it is not difficult to imagine that you may be connecting to the non-physical aspect of that soul, yet that soul's physical aspect is incarnated in such a way that it is living out a human life.
Understood. Very well put, thank you. I think part of it is being able to explain to people that linear concept. And I believe that it's just is the time and space. There's no limit to it. And maybe I have to make it simpler is what it is.
For many people, this is an idea that is abstract. It is outside of their current box of belief systems. Yet as they begin to recognize that there is a grander picture, that there is the idea of source creation, that there is the idea of the non-physical realm, as they begin to adapt and adopt this idea and begin to dabble in it, practice with it, experience it, they will, over the course of experience, relinquish the idea of confinement of a soul. A soul is not able to be confined because there is no such thing as confinement, as boundaries, as restrictions, as limitations, as boxes, as categories, as labels. It is simply existence. Therefore, there is a, let's say, ability to exist in a multitude of places at any given time.
Right. Thank you.
From a quantum level, there is only one existence. In other words, as it may appear for many of you, a soul reincarnated as a human being is a limited belief system that soul is merely a human being and nothing more. From a quantum level, that soul is everything more. You are just choosing as a human being to focus in on the idea of the human being, But as you begin to evolve into the spiritual divine creatures that you are, the idea of expansion, the idea of connection to your higher self is encompassing the idea of connecting to all aspects of who you are. Many of you have experienced this. Does this make sense?
Yes. Makes total sense.
We love this topic.
Me too. It's the same way when I tell clients that I want to use Skype, and they go, well, how can you give me a reading if you're not next to me? It doesn't matter because there's no sense of time or space in the world of spirit. So in that same concept, there's no sense of time and space with the soul.
There are no boundaries. There are no borders. There is a, let's say, certain value to be added by being in the same room, being in close proximity, because the energetic vibration will be integrated more deeply, let's say. Yet this too is a limiting belief, but for many of you it is a reality. So we do encourage the idea of gathering in groups, removing the technology, experiencing the wholeness of the natural state. But we also have value in the idea of technology based around the idea of connection to those that are physically impossible to be in the same room. This gives you the ability to maneuver worldwide while not leaving the comforts of your own living room.
Yes.
This is an amazing transition in the evolution of the human being, utilizing this technology to connect. There is an idea of disconnect based around the idea of social communication via the net. But we like to focus on the idea of the amplitude of communication based around the idea of technology.
Isn't it the intention that's utilized by the technology or by the person using it as to how it would be benefit or detriment?
Yes, but there is the physical definition of a human being, i.e., let's take for an example the idea of hugging a tree, being in nature and wrapping your arms around a big mossy tree. The feeling that you get from that experience with your feet in the ground, your feet touching the earth, your arms wrapped around the tree, the feeling of that, as opposed to looking at a picture of a tree on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have access to the tree, the second best thing is the picture of the tree, the reminder that trees are beautiful, the reminder of their energetic vibration. But as physical human beings and being sensory human beings, there is added value, another tool, as you would say, to be added to your collection of tools that enable you to feel that connection to source creation, to the grandness, to the wholeness of who you are, to that natural state of being. Does this help?
Yes, it does. I want to hug the tree now.
Yeah, that was an interesting, thanks for bringing that up, because now I clearly understand what you're saying. So really, in our mind, we could still have that connection, but you'd really have to focus on that visualization of it.
It is easier to recreate when experienced at least once.
Mm-hmm. So true. Yeah, you're right, because I can envision the feeling because I have literally done it. Well, thank you for that. That brought some clarity to me as well.
Yes, thank you.
Next.
Sorry to interrupt, Lisa. Go ahead.
No, I just said thank you. I said thank you. I also appreciated that.
Shall we talk more about nature? There seems to be a lull.
Solomon's getting impatient, Lisa.
there's a tea party. Solomon. But can you express to me something that you would like to tell me, what you would like me to focus on to bring forth to the public more?
You are moving in your desired course. You are moving in conjunction with your higher self, that which sees all, that which sees the avenues to be taken, that which sees the, let's say, overview of your life's map. You have found a way and are in a groove. Let's say you are on the track that you would prefer to be on. By living that continually, moment to 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 moment, you will then find yourself in a state of perpetuating that in others, for sharing that experience with others, regardless of how intentional that sharing is. Simply by living it, simply by being an expression of it, simply by being a receiver of it, simply by being supported by it, those around you will see and experience for themselves what you are trying to get through to them. Therefore,
I call that planting the seed.
Planting the seed, yes. You are planting the seed. You are sowing a garden. You are sowing your own garden. And as your own garden grows, so too will theirs. Your seeds will spread. The breeze will blow them in their direction, should they be in a receptive mode of it. And these are all ideas that you are familiar with. These are ideas that are not new to you. We are simply here to remind you to, let's say, relinquish the idea of needing to get certain points across. You are facilitating in such a way that is a display of source creation, of connection, enabling those that you encounter to feel within them that which you know to be true. They will feel the connection through you as a conduit. And oftentimes, right, this is all it requires. This is all it takes. For some, it will take many encounters. It will take many exchanges. And for others, it'll happen in the first 30 seconds of a consultation.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
We thank you for your time and your diligence and your expression of your passion for allowing yourself to bring forth to the world around you the authentic self of who you are, who you have always known yourself to be. You are a shining example of being in touch with yourself. This is something that is lacking in many human beings. And by bringing themselves back to this state of authenticity, of genuineness, of naturalness, they will then too find a way to stay connected, to stay in tune, to be in alignment, to be receptive of the synchronistic events that come their way. You are mirroring this to them. So we thank you for your contributions. We support you on your journey. We love and cherish you on a whole soul level. So thank you.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you. I feel that, and it encourages me to move forward, so I appreciate that very much.
We look forward to our next exchange. We look forward to our shared journey. We thank you,
yes,
all of you, once again, for partaking in this exchange, this collaborative unification, if you will. Until then, we bless you, we thank you, we love you, we cherish you.
Thank you, Solomon.
Thank you, Solomon. And thank you, Steve.
Hey, what about me?
They're very quick today. I was saying to Solomon in my mind, we still have 11 minutes.
That's for Q&A.
It's so funny.
Well, that's the thing, is that sometimes that's all that's needed.
Yeah, it's so true. And there was a strong message.
I get that. I do that all the time because it's whatever comes through.
That's
and, right. And that was needed, Stephanie. It really was. Because you probably feel this too. I mean, as a channel, that sometimes you need an encouragement as you walk through this journey.
I always need encouragement. Yeah.
It's that delicate balance of being human and being spiritual and doing spiritual service and doing corporate work, and it's a juggle.
It's a constant juggle, and I think that's one of the scary things for people is they feel that they need to dedicate a certain amount of time every day to a spiritual practice. And I'm a proponent of that. And that comes from Solomon that, yes, that's important. There's got to be some time put aside every day. But for me, the best way that, I mean, I do take quiet time, but I start to incorporate all these ideas in regular everyday life events. And what's interesting to me is that I'm living a very spiritual life in a high-paced world of my other career, which is a landscape company. And we have, you know, not a huge company, but for a city our size, it's pretty big. We've got 30 employees. And right. there's a lot of human resource. There's a lot of communication. And the thing that I found is that most people don't know how to communicate, and most people don't feel that they're in a safe enough environment to express when they're feeling down, to express when they're feeling angry or frustrated. And by taking these ideas into your workplace, you really start to practice it regularly.
This is true, because I work in employee benefits. So I'm an employee benefits brokerage company. It's my corporate job. Very boring in insurance. And then I work with the spiritual service. And, of course, we have family. And there are all kinds of things that we juggle. But in the corporate environment, I brought a set of angel cards in, and I just set them out. And then over the years, people just come. They come in a huff, and they'd be exasperated. I said, pick a card. And it would always have something that's synchronistic about their life or something that's going on, and it would uplift them. And then recently, about a year and a half ago, we started, my girlfriend of mine at work, we started what we call creating a lucid mind, or calm, where we meditate 2 days a week in the morning before it is school, before work. and it's, you know, it's a way to put it out there, and whoever wants to play with it, they'll come, and it'll stick with them. And, you know, just you're leaving it there in the corporate environment.
That's a good idea.
That's a slow start.
That is
but
a really
the angel card has taken off.
Well, you know what's funny is that with the angel card, we were on our way to Vancouver about a month ago, and we live about 4 hours from Vancouver. So we had driven the Friday night, stayed with a friend just by the border, and then got up early Saturday morning. And we had a channeling event in Seattle that night. And as we're approaching the border, the three of us look at each other and we thought, wait a second, are we telling them that we're going to do an event? Like, are we allowed to do that? And we started thinking logically now about, you know, what we had set up months and months ago. And, you know, being the people that we are, we, you know, obviously couldn't hide from them what we were doing. So when they asked why we were going, we were truthful and said, well, we have a speaking event in Seattle tonight. Long story short, that was bad. They didn't like that.
Really?
No. Yeah, apparently you need a working visa, even if it is only a 2-hour event. So now we find ourselves in the customs office, and it's not a nice place to be, right? It's you automatically feel like you're guilty of something. And
right.
I guess in a sense we were trying to go through, but it was very an honest mistake. And as we're sitting on the bench waiting, while they're checking our passports and everything else, and our cars being, you know, torn through behind us in the window, our friend Amanda pulled out her angel cards. And I started to laugh because of the irony. I was sitting in the customs office with this, you know, with the angel cards, and I'm laughing, and I take the card deck and I cut it and I take my card, and you know, true story, the card was about, before you go on a vacation or a trip, make sure that you cross all your T's, dot all your I's, make sure that you have all the proper documentation. And
used that information like an hour ago.
I know.
Should have done it earlier.
The card should have jumped out of the deck at us before we left.
So the customs guy that's now talking to Steve behind the desk, he looks up because I'm laughing, and I hold up the angel cards. I'm like, you're never going to believe what my angel card said. And I read it to him, and I thought, maybe, just maybe, I planted a seed there for all of the custom people.
At least for him. He was really great. The rule we didn't like so much, but the gentleman who we were dealing with was awesome.
Right. And I think it was how we were responding to the situation.
Yeah, we were breaking the law.
In a very nice way. Yeah.
You didn't know it was in a way, so you didn't go, right?
Or, no.
No, we got turned away.
Yeah, we were shuttled out of there quickly.
So we went to a local nursery, and I drowned my sorrows in all the trees.
Yeah. we filled our Jeep full of plants instead.
I really don't think the word drowned is a word.
You'll have people come to you the next time.
Pardon me?
You'll have people come to your place the next time.
Well, I figured it's probably easier to just stay in Canada at this point.
Yeah.
We'll do things like you do over Skype and over the internet. And it was interesting what they had to say, actually, about the technology. I liked that.
Yeah, me too. It was it brought some clarity to the idea of being in person. But like they said, it's just a barrier based on, I think, the collective template, right? So we can get past it, but we'd really have to work hard at it.
It's different because different clients, like some clients will really want to come to my house or the video meeting room to be there with me, but others on Skype, they feel very comfortable. Like it's like they're sitting in their living room and they're having a conversation. And spirit, when I connect, it doesn't matter to them either way. Like I do it on the phone or I'll do it, you know, if someone's in person. It makes no difference to the actual session itself. It's the receiver, the client, on their end, how they perceive it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've experienced the same thing. And it's for the non-physical realm, they are there and they are here. So,
well, even yesterday with the lady that we talked to on the phone, it was as if she was in the room.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember yesterday.
But there is.
I had a fun thing happen last week where I was woken up in the middle of the night with chest pain. And when I woke up, I, within a minute, realized it wasn't my pain. And it was a message that I was receiving for a friend of mine who was actually vacationing in Florida. So here I'm in New Jersey. My friend is in Florida. And the message is twofold message for her husband and for her son-in-law, which I didn't realize at the time was in Florida with them. So it had to do with father figures coming through, two different father figures, and somebody who had a heart issue and that they were with them, and it had to do with someone having a panic attack about it. Hmm. So the next morning, of course, that was the middle of the night, like around 6 in the morning, I texted my friend, because I know she's on vacation, and I'm like, when you get up, just give me a call. It just so happened she was up watching the sunrise, and she gave me a call, and I told her what had happened, and she goes to talk to her son-in-law. And apparently his mother, the day before in Philadelphia, had some kind of heart procedure. And that evening, he had a panic attack about it.
Oh, interesting.
So it was comforting to him. And then as far as her husband and his father, one of the other girls had a dream about their grandfather that night. So he was letting him know that he was around. But the son-in-law who had the panic attack, he was a bit freaked out by it. And then when he came home a couple of days later in Philadelphia, he went in his house and there was a picture that fell off the wall onto the floor. And it's just one picture on the floor and the frame broke. The glass was intact and it was him and his mother.
Oh, wow.
So now he's totally freaked out. He goes, I'm going to die. I said, everyone's going to die. Don't worry about it.
Everyone's going to die.
You're not wrong.
It's not a big deal. Get over it, Buttercup.
Yeah.
We're all going to transition one time or another. It's okay. This how is what you're going to think about.
Well, exactly.
Happy, so healthy, true. Happy, healthy transition. That's it.
Well, we're almost out of time, guys. And before we go, I'd like to bring things back to the idea of practice for everyone out there. The idea, as we were speaking about it, and you were saying you're integrating it into your everyday life, these concepts and these principles, the idea of practice is that eventually you're not practicing it, you're living it. So I think that we should do, we'll put some information out there through Solomon on solomonlive.com on developing a practice. I just wanted to put that out there because it came up and I thought it was important to define that for people. Because I know for
I also have that in my book, Spiritual Guidance, Trusting the Voice Within. It's about developing a practice.
Oh, perfect.
Mm-hmm. So it's also a complemental message.
Perfect. And that's what I think people are really looking for and needing is, okay, it's one thing to say, develop a spiritual practice, but then a lot of people get stuck right there.
Well,
so
many of us don't understand what that means. So it's great. Now we can resort to purchasing your book, Lisa, and we'll have a better understanding or listening to Solomon. And then within our own lives, we can define what's right for us using those guidelines. But we're out of time for today. Lisa, if you'd like to share with our audience one more time where to find your book and yourself, please go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Yes, please look me up on the website. It's www.communicate.net, communicate.net. You can also email me at lisa@tocommunicate.net. And the books are available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Balboa Press, Being Light Driven, Finding Inner Guidance, and Spiritual Guidance, Trusting the Voice Within. I want to thank all of you. I want to thank Steve, Stephanie, and Solomon. It's been a beautiful afternoon.
Wonderful. And for us as well, Lisa, thank you so much.
And thank you to all our listeners out there for tuning in. We look forward to having you back in 2 weeks as we'll speak with another amazing guest. For those of you who'd like to learn more about Stephanie and Solomon, go to our website at stephanie-banks.com. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel at solomonlive.com. Thanks again, everyone, and have an amazing week.